switch. Run, I say! Run!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey, everybody. Glad to have you with us today here on the Guy James Show. Yes, we are on the Head On Radio Network. Going to be with you here today. This is our last live show until the day after Christmas. I do want to remind you that we will be back live the 26th, the day after Christmas. And we'll expect everybody to call in and tell us all what Santa Claus brought them. Right? Okay. Getting an echo in here. I had to turn down the studio monitors. I guess that's what they're called. They're little speakers over there. Hey, hope you're having a good day today. I'm a little under the weather, but got a throat lozenge here. One of those zinc things, you know. Actually, they taste a lot better than they used to. They used to be these little gray-tasting capsules that tasted pretty rotten. But I don't know. This one's got some, like, cherry flavoring along with it to kind of soften the blow a little bit. I hope you're all feeling well today. We're going to have a good show for you, I hope. We don't have any guests scheduled. Trying to get guests scheduled from Washington this time of year is you know, searching for the Hope Diamond somewhere. It's pretty tough. Washington takes a breather this time of year. And they take a lot of breathers, actually. But, yeah, this time of year, everybody's off in Washington, off doing their thing for the holidays. A few of the staffers around. In fact, most of the staffers are around. But most of the bigwigs are gone, and everybody's out enjoying the holiday. And here are you and I sitting here doing the holidays together. Do you have your Christmas shopping done? Do you do any Christmas shopping? I don't do a lot. And I still have it to do. I know what I'm going to get, but I still have to do it. And happy Hanukkah for all of our friends that celebrate Hanukkah. And don't forget, all of our friends that celebrate Festivus as well. We want to be sure and wish them a very... I don't know what kind of a Festivus to wish somebody. George's father didn't seem to enjoy it very much. So I guess we wish you a very rotten Festivus. I guess that's kind of how it goes. Another Seinfeld thing, if you ever kept track of Seinfeld. Where are we at? We're about 5 minutes after the hour today. Yes, it is a talk show. We expect you to do some of the talking, particularly today. 866 546-5254. 866-546-5254. And we'll try to hit several different bases today on the show. Lots of things I want to talk about. I did run by the Rush Limbaugh show a little bit today. Like to check in on him every couple of weeks and see what he's doing. The great Rush Limbaugh. By far the most famous drug junkie on the planet. Evidently, is back on the pills again. He's got to be. I heard him say today that a war with Iran... Now, mind you, this comes after Vietnam, and this comes after the Junior Bush War, in which we're at a, I guess you'd have to call it a stalemate now. He says we're not winning, we're not losing. Why don't you just say it, a stalemate? It's a tie ball game right now. That's what Junior's saying. I say we're losing. However, Mr. Limbaugh says, knowing how this war in Iraq has gone, he said today that a war with Iran, in which they're trying to beat the drums on that, as you well know, all the right-wingers, the hardcore ones, the Bill Kristols and the Limbaughs and those kind of people, said a war with Iran wouldn't last very long at all. Yes. That's what Rush Limbaugh said today. I swear to you, he did say it. Said a war with Iran wouldn't last very long at all. So I guess that's all the proof you need that this guy is definitely popping the pills again. Aren't you, Rush? Come on, Rush, admit it. Head on back to rehab. It's over the holidays right now. Now would be a good time to go. Evidently, you are buzzed up really good, thinking the war with Iran wouldn't last very long. And we see Robert Gates has finally taken over at the Pentagon. He went to Iraq. You know, that's a strange situation. We've been told that the reason this whole thing dragged out was that the president wanted to give Gates a chance to visit Iraq and be able to meet, make informed decisions based on the talks with the commanders over there and seeing the situation for himself. And one would think that with American soldiers dying every single day, that it would be a matter of some urgency for him to get over there. The truth is that Gates' swearing in was delayed for at least 12 days because he wanted to attend commencement at Texas A&M, where he has been the president. That just kind of shows you the kind of real urgency this White House has concerning the lives of our soldiers and the innocent Iraqi citizens. Sure, just put off the whole deal for a couple of weeks because Gates want to attend commencement. That's the most important thing, huh? And we do see that the folks down in Texas are balking at having his. There are a lot of them now. The professors, and of course the right wingers will all say those damn liberal professors. They're not wanting him to build his presidential library at A&M. I mean, who can blame him? Who would want that there? Probably, at $500 million, that ought to be something very impressive. Oh, yes. And, I wanted to remind you. I made myself a note to remind you of something today. I'm kind of jumping around here today, fighting this cold or whatever I have. For those that think that all the hot shots in Washington, and, we're always trying to remind you that the people in Washington, the Washington insiders, the people that control Washington think they know everything. They think they know it all. We look at them and we see them on TV and we see them at the press conferences with Bush and we see all these people standing up making speeches in front of the American public and think, my God, these are smart people. And we trust them to run our country. And true, they make a mistake now and then, but they're the learned people and they know what's going on and they have all the inside information. Let me give you something from 2003 from a guest we had on this program. And let me quote him exactly when he was on this program. Mind you, in 2003. And I quote, "The United States is going to leave Iraq with its tail between its legs defeated. This is a war we cannot win. We do not have the military means to take over Baghdad. For this reason, I believe the defeat of the United States in this war is inevitable. Every time we confront Iraq troops, we may win some tactical battles, as we did for 10 years in Vietnam, but we will not be able to win this war, which, in my opinion, is already lost." 2003, Guy James Show appearance, Scott Ritter. Okay? And let's give you another one. And I quote, "Iraqis very clearly do not want to be liberated, even many who had long opposed Saddam's brutal regime. To the contrary, the U.S.-British invasion appears to have ignited genuine national resistance among 17 million Arab Iraqis, just as the 1941 German invasion of the USSR rallied Russians and Ukrainians behind Stalin's hated regime. The nasty, bloody urban warfare the Americans and Brits sought to avoid at all cost is now confronting them. Gentlemen, it's been on our program multiple times, Eric Margolis, foreign correspondent, the best foreign correspondent. I guess that says it all right there. We predicted on this show in 2003 that this is what would happen. Many of our guests predicted this is what would happen. Before we even went to war, Scott Ritter was on the program and told us that it was a pending disaster. Mohammed Al-Baradei told us it was a pending disaster. And guess what? That's exactly what it's turned out to be. Now, who are the smart ones in Washington? Who are the insiders, the Bill Kristols and the Henry Kissingers and the Jim Bakers and the Alexander Haigs and the Newt Gingriches and the people that think that they control that town? They think that they are in charge. No matter who the president happens to be at the time, there's a certain group of people in Washington that think they are the foundation of the town, and they will always see that things go right in America because they are the wise sages. They are the ones that know it all. Let me tell you, folks, a lot of those people don't know shit. Let's just say it like it is, as they would say it on the street. And they've proven it. Bill Kristol was on The Daily Show last night. He was made a fool of once again. John seems to like him for some reason. I don't. I think he's a treasonous bastard, and he is definitely a hardcore, that maybe the hardest core of all the neocons, sitting there in his smirking fashion, claiming to know what's best, with his bravado from the PNAC group and all those people. Not that Bill Kristol. They're talking about the ones on the comedian Bill Kristol, but this guy spells his name different. Even I think his father was one of those people in Washington that was an insider, and so by his very birthright, you see, he is there to make these profound judgments on what should happen and should not happen in Iraq. And now he is split from the president. But make no mistake, all of these people, the Richard Pearls and the Bill Kristols particularly, pounded the drums louder than anybody for the war in Iraq. And now that it's gone bad, it's, well, it was a good idea. We had a good idea to do that. There's no question about it. It was a good idea. It's just that Bush didn't run the war right. And they're thinking in their dark hearts that what we should have done in Iraq is to go in there and annihilate them. That's what they thought. They thought shock and awe should have really been some kind of big shock and awe. With some nukes involved. These people are the kind of people that, they're fanatics. Let's tell it like it is. They're fanatics. They would have no reservation about loading up on nukes and as they like to say, glassing the place, turning it into glass with all the sand and the heat from the nuclear bombs. They'd have no compunction about doing that whatsoever. Did you see the president's press conference today? I made a couple of notes. I unfortunately watched it. It's getting tough. It's getting tougher all the time to watch anything that man does. I think it was started about 10 o'clock this morning. And, you know, there he is, the president of the United States, the most powerful man on the planet, supposedly, and a man that should be eloquent and intelligent, lacks both of those qualities, of course. After reading his boring, purposefully vague speech, he started answering questions in his usual manner. He was smug, he was smirking, he was arrogant, and condescending. And a lot of the time he acted like he was bored to even be there. It's no secret in Washington that he has contempt for the press. He said, "We're not winning in Iraq, but we're not losing either. I guess it's a tie." Woody Hayes, the great coach of the departed coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, used to say, "A tie is like kissing your sister." We are not in a tie. Not at all. He also said that he isn't going to let the terrorists run us out of the Middle East. Run us out of the Middle East. I'm sorry, but I always had the impression that we belong in America and the Middle Easterners belong in the Middle East. I never had the impression that we belong in the Middle East. The Middle East belongs to the people who live there. We have no more business occupying any place in the Middle East than they would have occupying some place in the United States. Not one bit more. Oh, there's that little thing called oil. I forgot. That gives us a license to go over there because we need the oil. And we've got the biggest guns that give us a license to do that. That give us that exceptionalism that I'd like to talk about a little later in the program. And he spoke briefly about his so-called Iraq strategy review, whatever the hell that is. I guess it means that he's fine-tuning his present failed policies in Iraq so they can fail even some more. And a gal from the press corps asked him if he would overrule the Joint Chiefs if they recommended that we not send in more troops. And he wouldn't answer that question. And he smirked at the questioner with his usual condescending goofy look and smirk and said, "Nice try." Yeah. He said it's been a difficult year for our troops. No fooling. Yes, difficult. And then he went on to tell us of the angst that he suffers because of having to send our sons and daughters to their deaths. He can say that all he wants to, but his actions, without question, in my mind, prove otherwise. The scary part of this was that he said we need to be prepared to make additional sacrifices. It's easy for him to say, isn't it? We have nearly 3,000 dead and tens of thousands horribly injured in a war that we don't want to be in, a war that we should not be in. We're watching the Middle East, the middle class disappear right in front of our eyes. Our national debt going to end up doubling under his guidance. We've got a very, very uncertain future here in this country. He lives in luxury and he has no conception of the struggles of the average family and the poor in this country. And he says we need to be ready to make additional sacrifices. That's additional sacrifices for other people, not for people like him. Not for people like him and his friends in the ruling class and the royal class here in this country. When he mentions sacrifice, he does not mean sacrifice for any of those people. Not at all. They don't know what sacrifice is. And they can chastise John Kerry all they want. It was one of the most unfair things when he tried to make that joke back during the elections, but without question, in this war and Vietnam, the people in the armed service, by and large, those people are not from the upper echelon, now are they? But here's a man, like I said, he's lived in luxury all of his life. Most of his friends live in luxury, and they've got no idea. They've got no idea about people out here this Christmas season with not enough food in the house. A gentleman we told you about yesterday with not enough heat in the house. About homeless people. About people going hungry. Children going hungry. People going without necessary medical care. The elderly gone without their prescription medicine in many cases. They have no idea about that. That's another world to them. Something that Oh, maybe it's out there, but, you know, we don't want to see it. Barbara Bush would say, I don't want to trouble my beautiful mind with things like that. And several times during that question and answer period today, he stressed that he's prepared to work in a bipartisan manner with the Democrats. I had to laugh. Odd, don't you think, that he and the Republican legislators didn't give the Democrats the time of day when they controlled the Congress. But now that they're in the minority, they want to work in a bipartisan manner. Oh, do they? I'll just bet they do. It's all right for them to have the power and shove the Democrats aside and not listen to a damn thing the Democrats have to say about this country. To not let them bring anything out of committee, to not listen to any objections, to not let them bring up any bills. That's how it was the entire time, the first 6 years of the Bush administration. But now, why now we need to work in a bipartisan manner, and I will do all that I can to work with Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid. He also continued on with his just plain stupid assertion that the terrorists are the ones causing all the trouble in Iraq by turning the different religious sects and militias against one another. Has this guy ever opened a history book? I'll get to the phones in just a moment. Everybody on the phone, hang on. But I wondered, after watching him this morning, does he ever open a history book? Does he not know the hatred these people have had for one another, you know, for one another for centuries? Does he not realize that the only reason Iraq didn't erupt into a civil war before this is because Saddam Hussein kept them from it? It's actually humorous to watch this man get up before the American people and try and rewrite history. The Middle East history, according to George W. Bush. He ought to write a book. Here, get somebody to write it for him. And after 5 years of fighting the war of his choice, and he still doesn't understand the culture of violence that exists in Iraq. He got no idea that this man, this particular man at this point in history, is making decisions about what to do in the Middle East and Iraq is just downright frightening to me. This man of such small intellect, and of such poor decision-making. I was thinking back today, you know, even Reagan, Ronald Reagan, as intellectually inferior he was to so many of our other presidents, Reagan was Aristotle compared to this little man. He had a lot of years of experience making speeches and talking politics, and he could articulate what he believed. And he could be an utterly charming personality, even if you did hate his politics. And Clinton had the goods. He had them all. He had the politician's gift for drawing people to him, but he also had a lively and nimble mind that could flexibly adapt to situations and people. And he knew what he was talking about. And that gave other countries' leaders confidence in him. They weren't concerned with his sex life because Europeans know that sex is common to all the creatures on the planet. It doesn't make them giggle like schoolgirls or recoil in shock when they hear about things that happened to Clinton. But Junior Bush is this shallow, unschooled, unpredictable, and very temperamentally mean guy. His good old boy persona is just a phony mask for his insecurities. And make no mistake, you can tell by his gestures, he's got many insecurities. He makes thinking people nervous because he's so obviously in way, way over his head. And if there's any job in the world you don't want somebody to be in over the head, be the presidency of the United States. He has a credibility gap as wide as the Grand Canyon. And his rhetoric is so unpredictable. And at times this morning, it was incoherent. So incoherent that almost no one can trust what the government says, and they don't trust his foreign policy. That is a disaster. This little man was manipulated by the people in his administration who wanted to go into Iraq before 9/11, and then cynically used that tragedy to justify what they were planning to do anyway, and he went right along with it. That shows his intelligence. The Republicans brought themselves they got themselves a nasty little sock puppet. And they're trying to seize what they think they deserve. They want to be worshipped for being right, and they're willing to destroy the United States military to try and be right. It's just not going to happen for them. That's all there is to it. And you know what? The rest of us are going to suffer along with everybody else because of his pitiful decision-making. Let's go with the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy. Mike from San Jose. How you doing?
Hi, Mike.
I was listening to what you were saying, and now I wish I had really emailed you something I wanted to email you about a week ago. I'm trying to find it. If I can, I will. It was on either Huffington Post or Raw Story or one of the liberal websites, but it was a photo of Lyndon Johnson sitting in the Oval Office at the worst of the Vietnam era, and he had just been given a report on how bad things were going, and he's sitting there and he's got his head in both his hands. And the article described what he actually went through and how it was kind of a defining moment for him, and you know, he knew that he did what he did, but the weight of the deaths and the weight of the expense and the weight of everything that went with the Vietnam War, you can see it on his shoulders. And for contrast, they had a very recent photo of Bush in a military hospital with a female soldier laying in the bed, and it said that at the time the photo was taken, everybody in the hospital except that woman knew her leg was coming off. She didn't know it, but it was. And Bush is standing there with that Alfred E. Newman grin from ear to ear. And the article comparing the two basically said everything that you've just been saying of, you know, yeah, he is a sock puppet and he doesn't feel any of this. I can't tell you, Guy, how sickened I was at Thanksgiving when all of the major news outlets, MSNBC, every single one of them, had these detailed reports with photos over the Barney and Miss Beasley cookies that were baked for the White House Thanksgiving parties and such, holiday parties. And this is the president we've got. I mean, we can talk about it, and we can analyze it, and we can read books like Bush on the Couch, and we can do whatever we want to do, but unless some act of God, some force majeure happens in the next 2 years, we got two more years of this clown. And all of this baloney that came out after the elections of, oh, Bush was humbled by the elections, and he heard what the American people said loud and clear. Yeah, what the American people said loud and clear was, we want to stay in this war, we want to ramp it up, we want to increase the military, we want to watch another 3,000 of our people die in a war that makes no sense whatsoever. Plus the thing that you said about, did he ever pick up a history book? What makes him think he's going to change the Middle East?
Oh, it's absurd, and you are so right. The more I watch Bush, the more I realize that. And I know there are people that speak against you and I both the way we feel about it. I don't know how you feel about it, but I realize that we can't possibly afford to have this man running the country for two more years.
Well, I'm wondering, you know, you made the comment about this morning, and he is becoming, I feel, less and less stable every time he gets
exactly.
In front of television cameras. And you can see more of the stuttering and more of the hesitation and more of the long pauses between thoughts. And when he says a thought, it's one of these thoughts that's not fully formed, and maybe it made sense to him, or maybe he it was like a body function. The words had to come out of his mouth even if they made no sense. I don't know. I'm not him. I can't read his mind. But the thing is, if people aren't able to look at him and see that he is dangerous, and worse, I mean, let's go back a minute to the thing you said about the sock puppet, okay? That sock puppet was based on the machinery and the architecture that put him into office, and look what happened to it. It's all fallen apart. Wolfowitz went off to World Bank. All these other people, Dick Rumsfeld's gone. You know, Cheney, who knows what's going on with Cheney? You know, except we've got Bush taking time out of his busy day to applaud what a wonderful gay mom Mary Cheney's going to be, you know.
Yeah, did you hear him on that today?
He brought that up again?
Yeah, well, they ask him again, and instead of saying Mary Cheney this time will be a very Mary Cheney will be a very good soul, which is what he said the last time. He wouldn't say mother. He did say it today. He said she'll be, but that's a private matter. That's what he said. That's a private matter.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, he does respect the privacy and the rights and the feelings of other people. Especially when
that's good.
I can't pull the name right out of the top of my head, but I know you can. The senator that was just elected, whose son was, you know, wounded in Iraq, and he
sure.
said, "Son, who was that?"
You've got me having one of those brain moments as well.
Everybody listening knows who I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
sure.
But the thing is that, you know, I didn't ask you that. You know, and the worst part of all is like 2 days later after that story came out, when it said that he was briefed before going into this over what happened with his son, and he was asked to use a little sensitivity. And the easiest way to guarantee that he's not going to use sensitivity is to ask him to use it. The easiest way to guarantee he's not going to act in a nonpartisan way is to ask him to work with the Democrats.
Right.
And
right. Absolutely
the other thing,
right.
The other thing, I'm telling you, Guy, I'm so disappointed with the way things are right now in terms of what the Democrats have done since the election. And I understand, you know, they got to get in and take control of Congress and Nancy Pelosi's 100 days, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what I've seen and what I've heard doesn't fill me with optimism. And especially, even though the articles came out saying, did they take what Harry Reid said out of context? Sure, I got no problem with that. What the hell is he talking about?
Right.
Even if that was lifted out of context, Guy, what context could he possibly say that in?
No, not at all.
And so here's my feeling, Guy. I'll finish up and I'll go. But I really feel this strongly, that for the next 2 years, with whatever smear and fear that the GOP can use, and we don't know what role Karl Rove's going to play in that, because he's already sending up test balloons saying, I'm out of this after Bush is gone. But I think it's going to be smear and fear. I think it's going to be constant, nonstop attacks on the Democrats for not being able to correct the course that Bush has had us on for the last 6 years and do it immediately. They're going to point to everything wrong. They're not going to have any accountability for Bush in it. And I think 2008, first of all, I don't see President Hillary, okay? Second of all, even though Obama probably has more experience in politics than Junior had when he was governor of Texas and got put into the presidency, I think people are going to look at Obama and say he doesn't have the experience. Right. Edwards, I don't know. If Kerry keeps his mouth shut, maybe. But if Kerry has a couple of more things that they pick up on and throw all over the news for a month, I think Edwards is still going to be associated with that. Even if, did you see the thing on Hardball where he started to comment on it and the wife told him to shut up and
everybody
laughed?
Sure did.
He needs to learn that. You know, I mean, on one thing, yeah, you respect the team and you remain a team player, but I don't see an association with Kerry doing anything good for Edwards at all if he's serious. And so other than that, what do we got? We got the McCain and Rudy show. And Mitt the Mormon, who I don't see any chance of him getting in, other than the fact that he doesn't have the stigma of, like, McCain and his, you know, real hawkish stance on the war. And Giuliani, they had an article yesterday saying that if he does seriously run, the Kerik stuff's going to come back and bite him on the ass. But my feeling is we don't have anybody right now, Guy. I don't think Obama's ready. I don't want to see Hillary. I don't think she can make it.
If you made me go to Vegas and lay down a bet right now,
I want to hear this. Go.
You want me to tell you who I think the ticket's going to be?
Yep.
There are going to be a lot of people who say, "Oh my God, you're kidding." I'm going to say it's going to be Al Gore and Bill Richardson.
I think that would be the ultimate thing to do, because really, I mean, he's not playing coy with saying maybe I will, maybe I won't. But I think he's smart enough to realize, like another story appeared today, it was like Huffington Post or somewhere talking about, it might have even been Arianna Huffington's article, that 2 years before the election is too soon to start digging down into the soul of Hillary and Obama. A lot can happen in 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So I think Gore, if he has any interest in it at all, I think he is playing it smart by kind of stepping back and not just saying never means never like Jeb Bush.
And think what Bill Richardson would do to that ticket. First of all, it's going to bring in New Mexico, and it's not that many electoral votes, but the West. Here's a man that's infinitely qualified to be president, let alone he's a former UN ambassador, he's a former ambassador to other nations, he's a governor, well liked by people on both sides of the aisle. I don't know how you feel with him, but if you made me bet right now, that's just, I'm not saying I'm endorsing that whole thing or not, but if you made me bet, that's where I'd put my money.
I'd probably feel more comfortable with Gore running than I would just about any. I don't think Kerry has a snowball's chance in hell.
No.
I think maybe someday Edwards would be a great president, but I don't think 2008 is going to be the day. And the other thing is, I don't know who the hell the GOP is going to come up with, but they need somebody who is willing to stand their ground and not budge. And, you know, you look at what Gore did when, you know, Catherine Harris and all her pals were in the circle in the wagons over the election results in 2000. And basically, when he capitulated, he did it when he realized there virtually was no chance whatsoever of it getting, you know, given to him.
Yeah.
Okay, but he went the distance. That's the reason I bring that up. He went the distance. And so I feel, based on his previous experience, based on his experience as vice president, based on the whole ball of wax, if he got into election against McCain, against Giuliani, against Romney, and whoever, the ghost of Lee Atwater, Karl Rove, Karl Rove's son, if they step in and they start saying, well, how do you feel about Al Gore's illegitimate black baby? I think Al Gore's going to knock out some teeth.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah.
I don't think you're going to be sitting around waiting a month for him to respond to Swift Boat garbage like Kerry did.
You're right. And Al learned from his own campaign. He, you know, he got beat over the head a lot under his own campaign. I think he's toughened up a lot. I have to tell you, I mean, karma and all considered, I would love it. I would love it.
Yep. Listen, guy, Merry Christmas. God
bless
you.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you.
Take care. Bye.
Yeah, that'd be my choice, actually. I mean, well, I'm not going to endorse anybody yet, but like I say, that to me, that'd be a very, very attractive. And hey, we're Democrats, and we're going to have a knockdown, drag-out fight over this, are we not? You know we are. We're going to have a big fight over who's going to be, you know, the DLCers are going to be the rest against the rest of it. It's going to be a big old fight. But speaking of big old fights, let me play you a little something about George Bush here, okay? And we'll go to a break, and we'll be back in a moment.
This is First Lady Laura Bush. I have the unpleasant marital obligation to introduce the President of the United States for this new limited-time feature on weeklyradioaddress.com. It's called The Warmth of a President, and it is lovingly crafted to make George W. Bush less reviled by all Americans. This week, the forging of a leader's moral compass.
It was a bright summer day in Texas. While playing in a garage, I encountered a box of firecrackers. It was a spectacular, bright yellow package, and the firecrackers were the kind with the little cylinders and the little fuse, like miniature sticks of dynamite, and they were in a pristine, sealed box, waiting to be torn open. One could even smell the intoxicating fumes of the gunpowder within. I was faced with an ethical dilemma which would define my moral principles for years to come. I could, as I saw it, do one of two things. One, I could light the firecrackers in the backyard. Two, I could take them to the quarry, where I had much less chance of being caught, and stuff them up the buttholes of frogs I had collected, then watch them explode with guts and frog legs flying in every direction, and thereby enjoy a good laugh. It is perhaps obvious which path I chose to follow.
The Warmth of a President was excerpted from Destined for Destiny, the unauthorized autobiography of George W. Bush. It's what they call a book, and it's available with a hardcover or as an audiobook. I'm your host, Laura Bush.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise. prize.
Head on radionetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at headonradionetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Christmas comes this time each year.
Ooh.
Well, way up north where the air gets cold, there's a tale about Christmas that you've all been told. And a real famous cat all dressed up in red. And he spends the whole year working out in his sled. It's the little Saint Nick.
Okay, we're back. Yes, indeed. You listen to the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. 866-546-5254. You'd better join us and get in on the conversation today. Now's your chance. Got a couple of open lines, and I know you're just going to want to call up and talk about something. How much is gas in your neighborhood right now? It's about 2:39 here. 2:39 into where? About 2:45. They said it would go up after the election. It did. What a surprise. What a surprise. Hey, we are glad to have you with us here along at the Guy James Show today. 866-546-5254. Article 2, Section 4 of the Constitution of the United States says, "The President, Vice President, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors." And if these people don't fit the bill, nobody ever, ever will. And like I told our caller, and by the way, that was a great call, I can't see any chance that this country can afford to have these people in the White House for another 2 years. You know, a lot of people say, well, 2 years is not that long. We control the House and the Senate, and we can ride it out now. It's beyond reason to have this man stayed in office, given his miserable record of one failure after another. You know, we can argue the effects of an impeachment on the nation. A lot of people say, well, it wouldn't be good for the Democrats. We can do that if you like. But I'm absolutely convinced that the positives of impeaching him outweigh the negatives 10-1. And the sooner he's gone, the sooner we can begin to heal. Not only in this country, but we can heal our relationship with others all around the world as soon as he's gone. And the sooner, the better. But let's have the hearings. Let's dig up the dirt and present it to the nation, and let's see what they say. This is, the people are going to clamor for it, mark my word. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
Did you say you're going to be gone this till after Christmas?
Yes, we'll have some best of shows on the rest of the week, and then we'll be here the 26th.
Okay, I just want to be sure I heard right.
Yeah.
I hope you have a wonderful time.
Well, we're not going anywhere, but I've got a lot of work to do.
Like me, I have a good time at home.
Yeah.
I've got a lot to do, too. No, you were talking about Al Gore, that's my man. And I think he's just got so much qualifications, he's so smart about the alternative energy, and I don't know, he's even going overseas and giving advice overseas about different things like that.
Indeed, he's respected. He's respected around the world.
Uh-huh, and he's the experience, and I think he's as far as family man, I don't think you could beat that.
Nope. Got a great wife.
Maybe Edwards,
yeah.
I mean, or maybe even Dean, I can't really think of any of the Democrats that don't have pretty good marriages that have run for president. I don't, have you?
Well, I don't know. I don't live with them, so.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think a whole lot better reputations than the other side has.
Well, we had Bill. He slipped up there.
Well,
but we've got Giuliani. He's on his third, and we all know how that deal went. Dating one.
I think they've got a motley crew, I'll tell you.
John McCain, his marriage, he two-timed his wife and all that. So let's see how these moral values people take to that,
Oh, well, that's okay when they do something,
Yeah.
It's when we do a little something.
Yeah, that's right.
But anyway, I'm hoping that it's Al Gore.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting.
That would be my number one choice. I like Edwards, but I don't know about Obama. He might make a good vice president. I think he's got a lot of qualities, but Al Gore has got the experience.
Oh, he certainly does.
Other. And the brilliant. I mean, he's a brilliant guy. He's very brilliant. I heard him one time talking to a bunch of scientists, and about global warming and also about alternative energy. This was I think around the time he was running or something, and he knew what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He could keep right up with them.
That's right. That's right.
And just a number of things. And I think I would really love to have him.
Well, I would too. I would too.
He's my guy.
I'd feel pretty good about it.
And Wes Clark, I mean, he would be. We've got some good guys.
Certainly
on
do.
Our side.
We certainly do.
And I don't prefer Hillary, but if she runs, of course I'd support her. And I think she would work her head off, if she work her brains.
Yeah, I'm sure she will.
But I don't know. I just prefer the other. I guess that's about all I got to say.
Thank you, Juanita.
Have a happy
Christmas. Yeah, same to you. Have a
when
good
is
one.
Your team play?
The 8th of January.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, plenty of time.
All righty.
Thank you.
You take care.
Bye-bye. Oh, yes, the 8th of January, the Ohio State Buckeyes going to be playing for the national championship, Oh, yes. Oh, the chat room's going crazy here. Let me explain something. I see somebody disagrees with me. I not only think that politically that we've got a problem, I've said many times before, and I've been saying lately that I think our economy's going to hell in a handbasket, and I don't think we've bottomed out. Don't think we're close to bottoming out. In fact, a couple of economists, as I mentioned the other day, two or three economists that I've talked to recently said that by summer we're going to be in nasty shape. I hate to keep bringing that up. But that's going to be one of the things that's going to put one of the nails in the coffin of the Bush-Cheney pair, I'm sure. And hey, as far as replacing them, My friend Booman, that posts over at Atreus once in a while, he's got what I think is a really good solution. Really good solution. Think about this. He said the real solution to Iraq starts at home in figuring out a constitutional way to remove Bush and Cheney and replace them with a caretaker government. Now listen to this very closely. The rationale and details of the article impeachment are irrelevant. He says we need 18 Republican senators to agree, in principle, to a process that will give us a new administration for the end of 2007 and all of 2008. That administration should agree not to seek re-election. Ideally, it would be made up of a Republican and a Democrat and have cabinet members from both parties. That is what the situation requires. Booman, I think maybe you really have something there. Yeah. I think that'd be a good thing, real good thing. I think that's an excellent solution. Why didn't I think of that? But Booman's always smart. I love to read what he writes. 866-546-5254. If you'd like to give us a call today, what do you think about this new thing about Bushy wanting to send a... First of all, I want to get another 140,000 to 150,000 men in the military. It's not big enough for them. Despite what he said in his little press conference this morning, it is a direct repudiation of the policies and procedures of Donald Rumsfeld. Rummy wanted to do it to small and cheap, and now Bushy's saying he wants to beef up the military. But yet he says, well, no, that wasn't a put-down of Donnie Rumsfeld. Yes, it was. He's trying to dig his way out of this mess that he's in. And I think he'll run roughshod over anybody, Rummy, Cheney, anybody that he has to get out of this mess. What do you think? I think he will. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Yeah, this is Sarge. How you doing?
Hi, Sarge.
You know, I hope you're right about Bush going down. I'm just not seeing us being able to sustain two more years of him. I don't care who's in control of the Senate. And I'm not impressed so far with the possibility of what the Democrats seem to be doing. Now, I hope we're just seeing them kind of trying to keep friction down until it gets, you know, time to, you know, have a confrontation, but it scares me. I just, you know, the Senate guy, senator, said, well, I think I could support sending more troops in Iraq.
Oh, Harry Reid, yeah.
Harry Reid.
Yeah.
That right there scared me because, man, there's nobody with half a brain would even think that going into Iraq with more troops would make sense. I mean, even Hitler would have had more sense than that.
Well, I think he has backed off a little bit. He originally said it might be all right from, what do you say, from 18 to 24 months, but now he's saying for a period of, 2 to 4 months or so, which I still disagree with, but I can see he's coming down off his position.
Well, I called his office yesterday and talked to the press secretary, and I told him, I said, look, I'm a two-service veteran, Vietnam era and all this, and I'm going to tell you right now, anybody that thinks sending one more troop, any increase in troops over there is as crazy as a loon. Because there's no way, there is absolutely nothing to gain there.
Yeah, I agree.
And there isn't. And I mean, what, we have only 20,000 extra troops that, you know, that we got dispersed elsewhere. I forget the exact totals, but you know, that's all we've got that we can send.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And some of them are already going over there later on, so what they're going to do is they're just going to move them up. So, I mean, it's stupid. And these people have already been there several times. I mean, holy crap, sooner or later, you got to quit sending them.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, all the stats are coming up now. You find out that the U.S. soldiers that are serving repeated deployments over there are 50% more likely than those with just one tour to suffer from from combat stress.
If they make it through.
Yeah.
If they make it through. And every time that you go into a shooting zone, your chances decrease. That's why they only fly so many missions, because after a certain point, the chances of you surviving those missions are nothing. You know, you're not going to make it. At least back during World War II is what I'm actually referring to.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's dumb. But the one thing that I keep asking, and I agree with you, but I don't see it happening, is at what point does Democrats say, look, Bush has got to be impeached because there is absolutely no way we can overlook it without circumventing the Constitution and making a mockery of the Constitution? And that's what bothers me. It is not their decision, actually, to make that decision. Bush made that decision when he violated the Constitution. Nancy Pelosi has no right to say, it's off the table. She has no right. The Constitution says he has to be.
Sure.
And we cannot let these people off. They just can't do much more than what they've done without getting us to the point where there will be no way to remove people. Our government will become a dictatorship, and I'm surprised we've managed to get control of the Senate. I really am.
Well, I am putting my faith in the people right now, and I firmly believe that the outcry from the American people is going to grow to such a volume that it will not be able to be ignored.
I tell you what, guy, and I said this on Dr. Mike Newcomb's show, and I said it on Dr. Bill's show this morning, everybody, whether you want to or not, pick up your telephone, dial these people, these congressmen, and start demanding that they abide by the Constitution, and just keep bugging them. Just keep calling them. They may try to blow you off, but you keep calling them and you keep bugging them, because the more their phone rings, the more they're going to want to do to say, you know, we better get rid of it. That's how I finally got some action on an investigation started on Katrina. I called them so much during the last year that finally somebody said, okay, we're going to do it just to get rid of you.
Yeah.
And so now it's started. Now there's been already some contact made in the area, and some things are starting to come up. But you can't let them go, because if they think you don't care, they're going to do what they want to.
Well, there's only one thing that scares them, and that's the idea that they might not be reelected. That's the one and only thing that bothers them. And if the hue and cry gets loud enough, they will start. I mean, that's what happened when Nixon went. The Republicans went to him and told him that he had to leave. It was building and building.
George Herbert Walker Bush.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just the people have got to stand up. That's how we ended Vietnam. We got so many people involved, and so many people actually got to the point where they wasn't going to accept Vietnam anymore. And Bush finally, Nixon finally had to get out of there. And that's what we've got to do again. We cannot stay in Iraq. Did you know 1 month, just 1 month's cost of Iraq, we could fix the whole Gulf area to where it would dramatically impact the damage of a major hurricane.
Sure.
And yet we don't mind sending all this money over to Iraq to get our soldiers killed for nothing, when we could actually save ourselves money by securing this area down here to keep the hurricane damage down.
Well, Sarge, the problem with your theory is that would be the right thing to do, and that's not a consideration right now.
Then you've got people like Trent Lott. Trent Lott, he's not going to run again. This is his last term, so he's going to play party loyalty all the way.
Yeah.
And you'll never get him to vote for impeachment because he doesn't have to.
Well, he's not one I would say would, but there's going to be some other ones that might. I just think it's going to build and build. Hey, got to run, Sarge. News coming up. Good to hear from you, buddy.
Same here. Bye-bye.
Ah, yes, we got the news coming up at the top of the hour. Listen carefully. You might find out something you didn't know. Although my listeners are so astute at all times. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush held a press conference at the White House today to update the country on his Iraq policy. He said, quote, "I believe that we're going to win," end quote. However, he conceded that there have been setbacks and the war was more difficult than he expected. He blamed the insurgents because they are blocking U.S. efforts to establish security and stability in Iraq. The president said he is still considering all options and has not decided yet on a new strategy that could include an increase in U.S. troops, even though the Joint Chiefs don't support that. The latest CNN poll finds only 28% of Americans support President Bush's handling of the Iraq War. A record number, 70% of Americans disapprove of how the president has conducted the war. The head of U.S. Central Command, General John Abizaid, has announced his retirement, which will take effect around mid-March. CENTCOM leads American military action in Iraq and Afghanistan. Early next year, the U.S. commander in Iraq, General George Casey, is also expected to leave his position. Additionally, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Peter Pace, will also leave his post next year. The newly sworn-in Defense Secretary Robert Gates is in Iraq today to meet with military commanders and get a firsthand look of the situation on the ground. He will gather advice from top military leaders so that the president can come up with a new strategy for the war. So far, the Iraq War has cost more than $300 billion. In the southern Iraqi province of Najaf today, security responsibilities were handed over to the Iraqi forces. However, in case the security situation there does not hold, U.S. forces will be on standby to step in. Najaf is the third province out of 18 total in Iraq to be turned over to local control. China will make it harder for foreign couples to adopt Chinese children. The tighter rules will prohibit people who are single, obese, or over the age of 50 from adopting. There has been a large increase in the number of foreigners who have applied to adopt Chinese babies. Mexican police say they have captured a high-profile drug boss in a western battleground town, Michoacan. It's an area where drugs such as cocaine, marijuana, and methamphetamine are smuggled north to the U.S., and rival drug gangs have been fighting there for months. Most of Colorado has been hit by a major snowstorm, along with parts of Nebraska and Kansas. Airline flights have been canceled at Denver International Airport, and some highways have been closed. There are blizzard warnings posted by the National Weather Service. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
A private think tank revealed a study that indicates more than 9 out of 10 Americans have had sex before marriage. That includes men and women and virtually all age groups, even women born in the 1940s. The Food and Drug Administration today gave approval to a new drug to treat schizophrenia, Invega, by Johnson & Johnson. About 2 million Americans suffer from the mental disorder. Today, President Bush said he supports an increase in the minimum wage backed by Democrats. However, he favors it only if it's linked with tax and regulatory relief for small businesses. U.S. mortgage applications dropped 10% last week. Analysts say an increase in interest rates has decreased the demand for home refinancing loans. Swedish mobile phone company Ericsson will buy Redback Networks for just over $2 billion. Redback makes routers that direct data, voice, and video over broadband networks. The new chairman and chief executive of Goldman Sachs received the highest bonus ever paid to a Wall Street executive, more than $53 million this year, in addition to his $600,000 salary. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $63.98 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And taking a look at Wall Street this hour, the Dow in record territory, up 4 points at 12,475. The NASDAQ is flat at 2429. The S&P 500 up one at 1424. There's always more at our website, QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, do you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6... 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back. Good to have you along with us here on the Guy James Show today. I was just answering somebody here on the chat room. And I'll just say it, rather than put it on the chat room and head on Radio Network chat room, somebody asked me if I miss Bo Schembechler for all you football fans. Yes, I do. I loved Bo Schembechler. I am certainly not a Michigan fan, but Bo was I was born and raised in Ohio, and so was Bo, and not that far from where I lived. And he was a great guy, and he once worked for Woody Hayes, which made him all right with me. And I had the greatest of respect for Bo Schembechler. Now let me just go a little further on that story, and then I'll get to the phones. It won't take very long at all for me to say this, so hang on if you're on the phones. A friend of mine came around a couple of days ago, and he pulled this on me once before, and I gave him the same answer. He came to me and said, well, Guy, he said, I'm sure going to be rooting. He's a Wolverine fan. Let me put it that way. He's a hardcore Wolverine fan. I've never seen him without those awful yellow and blue colors on. Ooh. And he comes to me and says, you know, I'm a big Big Ten fan. And he said, I'm going to be rooting real hard for the Buckeyes in that BCS championship game against Florida. And I said, well, good. Thanks. That's great. He said, you're a big Big Ten fan too, aren't you? And I said, of course. He said, then you'll be rooting for my Wolverines in the Rose Bowl, won't you? I said, what, are you kidding? Of course I won't. Never. Never, never, never would I ever root for the Wolverines. I said, hell, if they were playing the University of Hell, I'd be rooting for the boys down there. This is a rivalry here. You shouldn't be rooting for the Buckeyes. That's how crazy it is with me. Yes, I just can't do it. I can't do it. I see those yellow and blue uniforms out there and just want to puke. Sorry, but that's how it is. just can't, you know, been raised that way. I told somebody the other day I was 12 years old before I knew Michigan was pronounced any other way but meat chicken. So, yes, we have great fun with college football. We really do. And good luck to all of you folks who, yes, I know Sarge got, Southern Mississippi down there at Hattiesburg. That's his school. And, I hope, everybody has a lot of fun with the, bowl games. I know I certainly do. Heard from my brother in Phoenix. He's not having any. We've had season tickets for 43 years and not able to get a ticket to that BCS game. And he moved to Phoenix this past year, and he's hunting, but they are so expensive. So, really bad. I mean, talking big money. I'm talking $2,000-$4,000 for a ticket. And you know what the shame of it all is? The doggone travel agencies get a bunch of tickets to sell and make money off of, but with these travel packages costing $3,000 and $4,000 to make profit off of. The tickets should go to the fans first. Damn it. Okay, enough for football. Let me go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, your California fan club again.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, it's just hardly a day goes by that some other thing doesn't come at us from this nightmare White House and government. And what didn't make the press conference today, as I understand it, but what in reality is happening is that half a fleet of the United States Navy, mostly all aircraft carriers, is headed for Iran. That's in progress as we speak.
Mm.
I think that's probably where the rest of the world is going to draw the line, because they're going to have to say at some point, we cannot let these global empires take over the world, a country at a time. I think they'll lend whatever support Iran needs to defend themselves. That's my guess.
Sure. Well, yeah, you know, there's trouble waiting for us in Iran. big trouble. And when that idiot Limbaugh said that today, that a war in Iran wouldn't take very long at all, I thought, my God, have you lost your mind? Of course, he lost his mind a long time ago. It was eaten away by the drugs that he's taken so much. That's what happens. But I was stunned to hear him say that to however many million listeners he had there. I would think about half of them. I would hope that half of Limbaugh's listeners listened to that and went, man, that's a stretch. But then again, maybe not.
Well, I for sure wouldn't be surprised, because what I have diagnosed is that every time the man speaks, he's lying. He's their talking points. He's there to keep us disinformed, and that's what he's all about. So I would not have expected him to say anything honest. It was also their prediction on the Iraq one would be probably a month at the worst, and probably only a matter of days.
So. Oh, yeah, yeah. And a lot of people forget those crazy predictions.
The thing that I pieced together, and I've shared it with you a few times, and it's hard, I think, for people to grasp it, really, but this is all about profits for this top PNAC crowd. And it is very profitable. The Treasury of the United States is being shifted over into the pockets of the cons. I had one other thought yesterday, because right after we talked, I thought, you know, maybe one of you, or maybe Sarge or somebody, would call our new Democratic leader, Harry's office, and commend him for having, you know, shut down the Senate and called for an investigation into the why we got lied into this war. But isn't it time to maybe come up with a little follow-up, see what they have to say on that?
Yeah, they're going to play politics with it as long as they can. But I think the hue and cry from the public is going to get so loud that they're not going to be able to ignore it. As I said with the Republicans, it's going to be the same thing with the Democrats. I don't think most of the Democrats, knowing how they are, and Harry Reid included in that, I don't think they'll do anything until the public starts threatening them with not being elected. Then they'll act.
Maybe I'm going to try to give him a call, too, and maybe get others to do it then.
I know he sure changed his tune a lot since Sunday, that's for sure. Somebody got to him.
I think he came under one hell of a lot of heat. And I did, like it happened right there on your show and several others, you know, that all of a sudden he was no longer any kind of a hero to the Democrats.
I know I certainly let my senator know what I thought about it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to again next month when I go to Washington. I'm going to visit several of them, and I'll try and visit with Harry Reid. I don't know. Who knows? I'm not one of these.
For sure. Yeah, well, have a happy one, and stay your wonderful self, and we won't know what to do with ourselves these 2 hours for the next several days.
Hey, Dave, take it easy, and thanks for a great call.
Thank you.
Ah, yes, Christmas is coming. Are you done? Are you got all your gifts bought? Are you buying a lot of gifts? No one's even mentioned it today. No one's even mentioned it. You know, I was talking to a friend the other day. We were chatting on the internet about this, that one of the most frustrating aspects of dealing with this administration is that we keep expecting that they will be held accountable for their lying or breaking their promises or misrepresenting their policies or any number of other things that we can file under the heading of, what the hell. But because they're moving so fast with such focus, we simply can't assess the damage before they're on to the next item. We went through that, about 3-4 months ago? It seemed like every single day another atrocity, an abomination of some kind that was happening. We couldn't even sink our teeth into one before the next one came along. It slowed a little bit now, but they execute. They don't plan. Their vision is a laundry list, and up till now, they've not reassessed their policy goals ever. Because they do not really have goals. They've got an itemized agenda, and they just keep moving like sharks. They don't have any regrets, and they never question. They've got faith that whatever their team is doing, it must be right, and the most important thing is to go and get the job done. That's why this administration is so irrational. And from what I can see, so incompetent on every single level. These people are not natural leaders. They're natural followers. Like lemmings. They're following their instincts without knowing that they're all jumping off the edge of the cliff. Bad thing is, they're taking us and the rest of the world with them. Yeah. Damn. Did you hear that during the news? $53 million from that guy from Goldman Sachs getting that for a Christmas bonus? But then again, his salary was only $600,000, so, you know, he's kind of poor. $53 million? Is there not something wrong with our society? Hate to shift gears and go from politics right into that, but I guess that's political. Isn't it sick? Isn't it just sick? And have I got the wrong way of looking at that? Have I always had the same attitude about this? Here's a man that doesn't, for the most part, doesn't do anything. I mean, he may be busy in his office and everything, but what is it that Goldman Sachs accomplishes in the broad scheme of things? Do they manufacture anything? No. What do they really do? Have you ever thought about that? Maybe I've got a completely jaded perspective on the big investment firms and Wall Street and all that. I know I do. But I think about how all the money is being made in this country now, and it's being made out of thin air. Somebody tell me how stupid I am for thinking that. I think it's just being made out of thin air. Buying and selling paper while the guy in Detroit's losing his job. Guy at the auto plant was making $45,000 a year. Not anymore. Think about that. Think about if you lived in Flint, Michigan right now, up to Buick plant. I don't know if that Buick plant's even open anymore. You know, got a town like Flint, Michigan, is blowing away. I mean, it's eroding into nothing anymore. It's about like Youngstown, Ohio, Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. Middle class America, to hell with them. They're gone. Their jobs are gone. They're never coming back. Even the steel, most of the steel we use to manufacture things in this country has been built overseas. We always thought that that was the whole card, that our manufacturing would always be okay as long as we produce the steel in this country, that we would have a leg up on everybody else. And we lose that industry, by and large. It's gone. But just think about that. All the hardworking people out in this country that have lost their jobs, and you've got people that are to make up for it. Instead of having one good job at General Motors, now the wife has to take on a job, and you've got to get a job at Walmart. Oh, God, no. But at a place like that, or Home Depot, or Lowe's, or someplace like that, and then get another part-time job in the evening just to survive, just to make the mortgage payment, just to make the car payment, just to pay the $2.39 a gallon for the gasoline to get back and forth to work. Think about that. And I know many of you do. I know many of my listeners are in that boat. And then we hear this obscenity of a man getting $53 million as a Christmas bonus, a year-end bonus, call it what you will. It's obscene. $53 million. When is enough enough? I know I've said it before, but enough is enough for whom the man for whom enough is too little. And it's never enough for some of these people. But you take Wall Street, and again, tell me why I'm stupid for saying this. You take Wall Street, and other than shuffling paper, what do they do? What do they do? They don't manufacture anything. I guess I don't know. I'm incensed when I hear about this. I read last night where at Goldman Sachs every single employee, the year-end bonus averaged $664,000 for every single employee. And what did those employees do? What did they do for the good of this country? Did they help our manufacturing? Did they help the service industry? What did they really do? Again, it's virtual money, like they say on the chat room right now. That's exactly what it is, virtual money. I'm from the old school. You go work, you make something, you do hard work, you give your labor, you make money. You pay your bills. The harder the work, the harder you work, the more money you make. And it's not like that anymore. Not like that at all. I live in an area where school teachers, for example, are horribly underpaid. Horribly underpaid. Ridiculous. And yet the median house is like $290,000. A person on a school teacher's salary could never afford a house here. Never. And so the husband and the wife, and I know a couple like this, both of them teach. And they both got part-time jobs to afford a house. You say, well, why buy a house? Why not rent? Rents are pretty high, too. That's how it is. And I hate to keep complaining about it, but that $53 million I heard, that set me off. Heard about that last night, actually. You can give us a call, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. We'll be back in just a minute.
And now a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Good morning. On Tuesday, a United States Senate report was brought to light that alleges there were no ties between Saddam Hussein and 9/11. Now, first of all, I have never said that Iraq invaded our country. I know that. But they attacked us, and we must respond. See, this is exactly why I am president, and the senators are the senators. They are only concerned with findings and facts. By contrast, I must focus on the big pictures. If you get too bogged down in the facts, you're never going to get anything done. The fact is, the people differ on the facts, and you can't trust the truth. That's my operating apparendi. The facts don't work. And that's worked for me so far. You can't trust the truth, and I trust in that fact. I'm not going to change my mind. If we as a nation overcome the struggles against the facts, we're never going to defeat evil. And that's good. Let me put it this way. Truth, and to a lesser extent laws, stand in the way of our freedoms. Because I must believe what I know I believe, despite what is true, and do what I need to do to protect the nation, despite what the law says. So I renew my pledge to defeat these evil facts and the tyranny of our laws, because they bring comfort to our enemies. And I'm going to bring freedom to our laws and the facts and eliminate them from our land and make the end of the world a better place. Thank you for listening. God bless you.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
Hey, man, did you hear that?
Hey, everybody, Santa's here!
Aw, there ain't no Santa Claus.
Yes, there is. There is, too, man. He's here!
Merry Christmas, boys!
Red Peter!
Come on, you swinging hamsters, get over here. Right. We're gonna sing us a happy Christmas song.
Oh, no, not another corny, stupid song.
Yeah, no way, man. You tell him, Ronnie.
Yeah, no way.
Get over here and sing, or I'll wring your little neck.
Hey, okay.
So grab your nuts, hamsters, gather round with me. Forget about all that teasing. We're breaking out the holly and aluminum tree, cause it's that jolly season.
Oh, boy.
I know you've been naughty, but have you been nice? That's only Santa's business.
That's right, Red.
He's making his list and he's checking it twice.
Oh. Holy shit, it's Christmas.
A holiday. Go on and give Santa a big kiss.
No way.
You can play hide the hamster on a one-horse sleigh.
Hey, wait a minute.
Holy shit, it's Christmas.
Hey, what happened to my lyric sheet? Anyone seen my lyrics?
Heck, we don't need no lyric sheets, Red. We know our parts by heart. Right, Billy?
Yeah, sure. I know my part.
Yeah, me too.
Well, that's great, guys. I love Christmas songs.
Santa tried reaching up the neighbor's blouse after drinking all the eggs.
Is that necessary?
Pants out in the bathroom for an hour or two. Squashing off a Yule.
God free!
Nuts
chesting on an open fire, Santa's tongue stuck to the doorknob. What? His balls got funneled by a caroling choir while the parson gave him a hand. What? The sleigh came down and took him away. The whole damn crowd was dismissed.
Cause it's time to be jolly and it's time to be gay. Holy shit, it's Christmas.
Holy shit, it's Christmas.
Holy shit, it's Christmas.
Holy shit.
It's Christmas!
Hey, Guy James here with you on the Guy James Show, part of the Head On Radio Network. Music courtesy of the music director at the Guy James Show, Billy Shears. And that was a little wild, wasn't it? a little irreverency toward Christmas right there. And this shows you we can have a little fun one way or another. Don't get caught up in that politically correct stuff. Try not to anyway. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to give us a call. We've got a couple of lines open. I want to read you a letter that maybe some of you have heard about, maybe you have not. If you have, bear with me on this. Just take a second. They've got this congressman in Virginia. He's a Republican. His name is Virgil Good. And Virgil wrote a letter to his constituents as a result of what his office claims is a flood of emails from constituents in response to newly elected Minnesota Representative Keith Ellison's declaration that he would use the Koran, not the Bible, when being sworn into Congress next month. And I'd like to read you the letter that this bozo wrote to his constituents. How can you be this damn stupid? How can you? I mean, I just... I would really love to know how you can be this stupid and this bigoted, biased, whatever. And I'll just read this letter from Representative Virgil Good, Republican of Virginia. And the letter goes, "Thank you for your recent communication. When I raised my hand to take the oath on swearing-in day, I will have the Bible in my other hand. I do not subscribe to using the Quran in any way. The Muslim representative from Minnesota was elected by the voters of that district, and if American citizens don't wake up and adopt the Virgil Good position on immigration, there will likely be many more Muslims elected to office and demand the use of the Quran. We need to stop illegal immigration totally and reduce legal immigration and end the diversity visas policy pushed hard by President Clinton," knew his name had come in there, didn't you, "and allowing many persons from the Middle East to come to this country. I fear that in the next century, we will have many more Muslims in the United States if we do not adopt the strict immigration policies that I believe are necessary to preserve the values and beliefs traditional to the United States of America and to prevent our resources from being swamped. Let me ask, does it make any difference if our resources are going to get swamped by Muslims or Mexicans or Canadians or Chinese or Anglo-Saxon? Does it make any okay, let's go back to his letter here. The Ten Commandments and In God We Trust are on the wall in my office. Well, pin a rose on you, Mr. Good. A Muslim student came by the office and asked why I did not have anything on my wall about the Quran. I'll just bet he did. My response was clear. As long as I have the honor of representing the citizens of the 5th District of Virginia in the United States House of Representatives, the Quran is not going to be on the wall of my office. That tremendously intellectual, ridiculous letter. Can you imagine a guy that would write something like that, actually being in the Congress of the United States? Sometimes when you take a look at some of these people, you think, oh, he's a congressman, you know, he must be smart. Man, I want to tell you, you go through the halls of the Rayburn Building and the Hart Office Building and, you know, you're going to find some boys and girls in there that aren't the brightest bulbs you've ever seen. Oh, they're good talkers. And they're good organizers. But just because you're a congressman doesn't necessarily mean that you've got very much on the ball. And I'd say that Representative Virgil Good, Republican from Virginia, is probably one of those folks whose light is a little dimmer than some of the others. My God. Oh, my. 866-546. You know, I laughed when I read that letter the first time, and I laughed again. I still think it's so funny. 866-546-5254. If you got something to talk about, give us a call. This is our last live show until the 26th. Not going to go on vacation or do anything like that. Got lots of work to do. We'll enjoy Christmas at home with my wife and the puppies, Sophie and Kukla, the Yorkies, the official Guy James Show dogs. And that's going to be about it. Might run over to the beach on Christmas Day, do something like that. It's always nice to go to the beach on Christmas Day if it's nice, and take a walk. So. Yeah, Corey Stone writes on the Head On Radio Network chat room, Catherine Harris was a Congress critter on the ball. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's a fact. You know, that's no surprise, I guess. You either got to be a fool or a patriot to feel the duty to govern after a Republican's been in power. You stop and think about that. And the Democrats are going to be running for power now, and we're going to try and take over after what these people have done. Going to be a tall order, don't you think? They come into office. See, you stop and think about these Republicans, and think how many times that you've seen this. I've seen it many times. They come into office. They find a way to reward themselves and their rich friends, and they totally screw up the country, and then they leave the mess for the Democrats to clean up. Then they use their time out of office, assassinating the characters of the Democrats for fun and profit, preparing the way to get them back into office and screw it all up again. These people are not interested in governing in a democratic system, which takes compromise and negotiation and patience. They're all about power, which requires a whole lot less complexity than that. You know, this merry-go-round reflects an aspect of the American character that works to its own disadvantage in more ways than one. You know, we've got no sense of the past, except that's which has been created by myth-makers and screenwriters. We simply don't remember what even happened a few short years ago, and we should about these Republicans. And unlike the Europeans and the Chinese, for example, who behave as if slights from the 14th century happened 5 minutes ago, we're oblivious to our own political past. We really are. Think about all the crooks that are in this Bush, Negroponte, for example. Short memory, huh? You know, think about this. The American people decisively repudiated George Bush Sr. in 1992. He only got 37% of the vote. And 7 years later, here we have the Republican Party actively courting his namesake, this bozo, this criminal that we got now for president, without any sense whatsoever that his association with a man widely regarded as a failure just a few short years before that could be a problem for him. It actually is seen as a strength in the Republican Party. The people that run the marketing of the GOP understood very well that the brand name was all that mattered, that the product failure a few short years before had been long forgotten. I suppose that this would be expected in a country that prides itself on offering people the chance to reinvent themselves, kind of like Madonna. But you know, I think it might just be helpful to reframe this as a matter of corporate liability. The GOP gets away with murder over and over and over again. They leave chaos in their wake and force the taxpayers to clean up the mess after toxic mess. Savings and loan bailouts, record deficit, crumbling infrastructures that we have, the bill for this foreign war, international threats. Their product is defective. They need to be held accountable. And yet, they would, if they had a chance, they'd put Jeb Bush back in there. They would. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, is this the real Guy James?
It'd be the one and only.
This is Eric from Vermont. How you doing?
Hi, Eric.
Hey, listen, really interested in the impeachment thing. I'm just really not sure exactly what the Democrats are doing right now any more than you are. I'm probably much less informed. What I want to do, but what I want to see happen is I want everything to go back 60 years. I want to get into the 53 53, Iran, coup d'etat. I want to get into the 54, Guatemala, coup d'etat. I want the American people to be totally informed of actually what this government of ours has been doing underneath the noses of the American people, and let the American people know what the corporate interests have been in terms of telling the government what we need here.
There's no government on earth that has backed, financed, and helped more despots than this country right here. And it's been driven by corporate money. You're exactly right.
I think it needs to be exposed to the American people, because I don't think the American people, I mean, step by step over this period of time since the end of World War II, well, there's a lot of stuff going back to the unchristian Ten Commandments and the teachings of Christ and so on and so forth that have gotten into the idea of stealing whole two continents by a whole bunch of imperialistic Machiavellian type of people that have done what they've done for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, to say less about the slave labor that we have imported and so on and so forth. I'm just really confused as to why can't we just get some mainstream media and kick these guys out? How can we inform the people, I guess, is really what I'm saying. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I guess you said it all in your first, your first paragraph of your statement today. You talked about the corporate money. It's one of those deals right there. The money, the money, the money, and it's only the money.
But I work with people that work in an industrial thing. I work for the government. I work for a bureaucratic form of the government. But I watch people that are working for a company that we monitor their work with, and without being too expose. It's really sad. You know, these people really don't understand and connect the dots that the mainstream media is not giving them any information, and they have to spend hours and hours of time, all the time, to get the information. And who has the time? Going back, I would say probably about 50 minutes ago, you were talking about who has the time? The wife has to work. The son has to work. The husband's got to work. The wife's got to work an extra little part-time job. The husband's got to work an extra part-time job. These people are just getting by. Who has the time to be informed, to say less about getting past that idea of, I'll be careful with the Sean Penn thing, the bastardization that this administration has done to the American flag, really, in terms of what they spent $70 to $100 million, I think, Bill Clinton, in terms of all the people that were investigated, had up to around $100 million in terms of investigations going toward trying to bring down Bill Clinton because he wouldn't follow along with the PNAC agenda.
Exactly, and right.
And I think it's really disgusting. But somehow we have to turn this around. And, gosh, I know we're all searching, and maybe not agree with everybody on every point, but we got to get something turned around here, and the Democrats really have to squelch their talking points here, get on the ball, and if Nancy Pelosi has her little thing, do it. If a senator from my state does it, do it. But they got 2 years to show some sort of oversight over what has happened, not just what needs to be done. But they need to expose this, because these people will hide in shadows until the next time they come around and gain power.
You're so right, Eric. And you're right about the people not having time. And I don't know what the exact reason for this is, but I bet you 3/4 of the American people have no idea why the Iranians hate us. I bet they don't. People are so, I don't know, ill-informed and not informed about all these despots that we've backed over the years. It's such a shame.
Anyway, I thank you for your time. I think you're doing a great job. I wish I had the opportunity with my work schedule to be more participant in your activities, and I totally respect what you're doing. and I would like to put a word out to please donate to the Guy James Show. It's on contribution-only status, and Guy James is a great radio talk show host. Please donate.
Hey, thanks very much, Eric. Appreciate
it. Yes, sir. My privilege.
Bye now. Well, he's right about one thing. This is the show is run by donations only. We have no sponsors. We have no corporate money involved. We have only you to help keeping this program going. And I must tell you that it's very difficult at times to do that. Hate to talk about that, but that is how the show stays on, and it's through your contributions. And you can do that at PayPal. It's on our website. We got our snail mail address, theguyjamesshow.com. And you can do it by PayPal or through snail mail. So it's all there, and we hope you will think of us now and then. And I do appreciate some of you that donate on a monthly basis, have a subscription. I appreciate that more than you know. It helps pay the bills. Geez, it might surprise you just how much the phone bill is. It really might. Limbaugh doesn't have to talk about that sort of thing. Neither does Sean Hannity. And that, you know, that's with the millions of dollars they take in. That's the last of their worries. That's for sure. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
Hello, democracy, I think I'm gonna smile. Impeachment's now in style. There goes my country with someone new. She sure looks happy, Bush sure is blue. He was the leader till Truth stepped in. Now George is wondering what might have been. Bye-bye Bush, bye-bye Dick Cheney, hello democracy, I think I'm gonna smile, impeachment's now in style, I'm through with Rumsfeld, I'm tired of Rice, I'm sick of listening to all those lies, and here's the reason why I'm so free, we're taking back our democracy. Bye-bye Bush, bye-bye Dick Cheney, hello democracy, I think I'm gonna smile, impeachment's now in style, and here's the reason why I am smiling. Bush is on his unemployment line. Bye-bye Bush, bye-bye Dick Cheney, hello democracy, I think I'm gonna smile, impeachment's now in style, impeachment's now in style, impeachment's now in style.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy Buffett. Say, all of you folks that don't live in Florida, have you ever seen a manatee? Oh, what a pleasure it is to see a manatee. One time I was out swimming in the Gulf on a particularly warm day over on Captiva Island. And, I don't know, 50, 80 yards from shore or something like that, not too far out. And the water was, I don't know, maybe 6 feet deep. And I was swimming along and all of a sudden something big brushed up against me, and I thought, oh no, man, oh no, what are the odds? It's got to be a shark. It's got to be a shark. And don't you know, next thing I know, I see it turn around and come back again. I see it's a manatee, and what a sight. Big flat tail. You know, they get up to a couple of thousand pounds, And in the wintertime, when the water gets cool around here, they hit up all the estuaries, and there's a power plant not far from here that has a hot water discharge. And they all head up the Caloosahatchee River and go down to this Florida Department of Florida, whatever it is, electric company. They go down to this little river right out back of the electric company, and they all go in there where the warm water is. And you can go down there in the wintertime, and I guess we're in winter now. Yes, we are. You wouldn't know it, really. But, the water gets down to, 66, 65 degrees out in the Gulf, maybe a little bit less than that. So they head upstream where the water's warm by that power plant. You can go out there and see, 20, 30, 40 of them sometimes. And it's quite a sight. They're, we call them sea cows, but they're delightful animals. And we like to protect them. You can even get a manatee on your license plate here in Florida. Love the manatees anyway, but it was a good thing when I figured out that when that thing had brushed up against me wasn't a shark, let me tell you. Ooh, because it does happen, and you know, we see sharks around here, and we see all sorts of marine life, but boy, even the stingrays and the whole ball of wax, it's always fun to see. I saw a stingray one time. It would have covered the hood of a Buick. Man, talk about big. But most of the time they're just little ones, about size of a dinner plate or so, and you have to be so careful when you're walking along the shore, because if you step in one, he's going to sting you, and it's quite painful. So you got to do what they call the stingray shuffle. Just kind of shuffle your feet along, and then if you do come up on one, they'll take off and not sting you. So there you go. If you come down here to visit, why, then you'll know how not to get stung by stingrays. Lots of people here this time of year. We call them snowbirds, of course, and the people come down from the north. And it's what drives the economy around here. The people from the north come down and bring their money. But I must tell you, there aren't as many here this year. And it's got something to do with the economy. Oh, yes. But don't forget, the stock market's hitting a record, so gee whiz, things must be really good. We were talking about history a few moments ago, and I guess I don't have enough time to get into what I really wanted to talk about. Give us a call. You got enough time to call. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Do you think George Bush will use any of the recommendations given to him by the Joint Chiefs? Do you think he'll give any credence at all to the Iraq Study Group? It's beginning to look to me like he's not going to give them any, as they used to say, pay them no never mind at all. He's going to make the decision himself, because as he said last week, I know I have more knowledge about this than anybody else. You know, it's hard for me to think that this man has more knowledge about anything, maybe cutting brush, maybe knows more about that than anybody else, but somehow I have to think that he doesn't. He's just such a loser. Hate to talk about that day in and day out, but my God, he is the man running the country. He is the topic of conversation around here. Yeah, we've got time for a couple more calls. 866-546-5254. Let me go on over to the phone here. We got one of the lights lighting up, starting to blink. First they blink green, and then they blink yellow, and then they blink green again, and now it's going to blink red. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. It's Cindy out here in Washington State.
Hi, Cindy.
Merry Christmas to you. I hope you enjoy your holiday.
Well, Merry Christmas to you. We're not going to have a white Christmas unless we go over to the beach and see the sand. But you've got snow?
All right. Now we're having ice storm. It's sleet.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not really bad because it's not really, hanging in 10-ton bricks off the trees.
Yeah. Oh, I remember those days from Ohio.
Yeah. Well, what I called about is that young man that telephoned a little while ago. What a great call. But I worked in defense industry myself, and I'm old enough to be his mother. And, there's an effect in that kind of work where the older people kind of bring the younger ones on board and show them where things are at and show them the ropes and everything. And everybody's always under continual education programs, so it's not like the old people are dumb and the young people are smart. It's quite the opposite, actually, because your gained wisdom teaches you a lot. And when they have massive layoffs and turnovers in these industries, they have an effective brain drain of smart people in America, and it really harms those industries. And the young people that are brought in, not only are they paid less, but they're given three times the workload, and they really have to scramble to stay in there and to catch up and to get the product out. So it puts so much pressure on them at a time when they're raising their children and trying to establish themselves financially in the community and provide for their later years, that they don't have time to look at what's going on in D.C. And it's all designed that way, to pressure the women to go to work. They want to pretend they don't want women's rights, but they actually want women slaving in the workforce so that we can't sit home and pick at the grocery store anymore like my mother did. And
that whole thing you just said can't be true, because we've got these Republican family values here that are in place.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I mean, a picket fence and the Cleaver family and Ward and June and the boys. That's how it is, isn't it? That's what they would have us believe.
You know, I was raised in the 50s, and when I watched the Cleaver family at the time, I thought they were outdated. I thought they were from the 40s.
You're so right.
And, they were a 40s family, not a 50s family. But, so the Republicans have always been trying to drag us into the past to live with them. And their symbol should be a dinosaur, not an elephant.
I love it. You bet. That'd be
and
a good one.
The elephant is the last remaining gigantic pachyderm dinosaur on the planet Earth that's still alive that they haven't killed for food yet. So I guess that's why that's their symbol.
Yeah, you're so right.
It's a proverbial thing in the middle of the room that no one talks about, like their boy in D.C., you know?
Right.
So it does truthfully depict what they are. And they can make all the jackass jokes they want, but I'll tell you something. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, he didn't sit on an elephant.
That's right. Exactly right. And no elephants around there, I guess, but... I had an elephant joke I was going to tell today, and I misplaced it. I'm so poor at jokes, and I need to write them down, and I didn't set it any place. But you're right, that elephant in the room is getting larger and larger and larger, and I think we've got
there
to do something about
it. One of our biggest problems in government, one of the most immediate things that needs to be turned around other than health care and wages, is we need to rescind the Telecommunications Act of 1996 and get back our airwaves.
You bet.
If our representatives in D.C. won't do that, then on a local level, we can raise heck with each one of our television stations by writing to the FCC, demanding to know when are they up for a license renewal and saying that they're not serving the needs of the community and therefore should not be eligible for license renewal. And we can raise havoc all across the country doing that. We can get up websites and show people how to do that and where to write and so forth. And I don't even know how to put up a website, but I'm sure someone listening might get the idea that I'm trying to put out there. Other than canceling your cable bill so that you don't send $100 a month to Rupert Murdoch, you know, that might be helpful. You know, look at who it is you're paying for your information services, and if the only information services that's being offered in your community is going to some guy like that, then you should complain to your community leadership that you want an alternative source that doesn't give money to the enemy.
Well, you're so right. It's so sewed up right now. You got your Clear Channel out there, and you know
it is sewed up, but it's really in our ballpark. Because it's our dollars that we're earning that's paying these guys. And they don't know how to earn a buck. They only know how to live on an income stream. So if we cut off their income, they can't play anymore.
Well, that's true. You live where I live, there's no chance of that happening. But in other areas of the country that are blue and dominated by red media, why, that certainly can be done.
Isn't that wild that in a state like Florida, where it's warm and beautiful, and when you come home from work, you can go out to the beach or you can just take a walk and get sunshine, go sit on a cabana outside your backyard and take a sun bath. You can do any one of a thousand things outdoors, and you do not need a television set.
That's true.
That state is red, but a state like Washington, where I'm at, where it's cold and you're stuck indoors all winter long and your only friend is a TV, we're blue. Now, yeah. Why is that, Johnny?
Actually, this state's pretty doggone purple when it comes down to it. It's
saying the powers that be.
I got to run coming up to the end of the program here. Thank you for your call, and enjoy that ice out there.
Okay, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. And Merry Christmas to everybody. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, a joyous season to you. I'll be back with you live on Tuesday, and we'll have a best of tomorrow. We're part of the Head On Radio Network. You're listening to The Guy James Show, and always remember, you've heard from the radical right, and all that's left is the truth.